Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose looking ahead to a great Saturday of action featuring the King George. Should be a really superb race. If you're new to Postcasts, welcome along. Here's what we do. We bring you a no-nonsense, rapid run-through of the ITV Saturday action. And then the boys pick out anything else they think you should be looking to back away from the glare of the TV cameras. Keith's got a tip for us on Sunday. And then next week, Goodwood and Galway, all hands to the pumps. One of the busiest weeks of the summer. And the boys have got some early value for that. We will kick off, though, with the highlight of the weekend. And for many people, the highlight of the summer. It's the 3:35 at Ascot on Saturday. It's the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Kitco Stakes over a mile and a half. Only six runners, but if I tell you that the 40-1 outsider won a Group 1 last time, you will realise it is a good race. And here's the betting. The Brilliant Love heads the betting at 13-8. I'm reading out best prices as per racingpost.com. And a quick plug here. If you click on the best price button, it immediately brings up the latest odds and each way terms from seven of the leading bookmakers. It's a great way to get the best value nice and easily. Love is 13-8. The Derby winner, Adea, is 5-2. Lone Eagle, 6-1. 8-1, Wonderful Tonight. 9-1, Mishriff. And 40-1, Broom. So, what a race. Is it a race to watch and enjoy? Or is it a race to get stuck into from a betting perspective? We'll start with Keith Melrose.
Yeah, I think it's more of a race to enjoy. Because I look at this race and you've alluded to a little bit of it there, that Broom is 40-1. He won the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud last time. That was less than 3 weeks ago. You know, that's the sort of level we're looking at here. And, you know, can you realistically back horses that are as short as Love and Adea? And I really am a big fan of Love. I think if she ever beats Snowfall, she'll beat her and beat her handsomely. I think she is a really, really good horse. And I assume Broom's the price he is. He's sort of presumed to be on pacemaker duty potentially, because I think he made all at Saint-Cloud, didn't he? So we've got, you know, there's that tactical element. The only thing I'm certain about in this race, that every time I look and my opinion changes slightly, the only one that stays the same, I think Adea's too short. I don't think he was he's the best horse on the day in the Derby, but I suspect Hurricane Lane would beat him if they met. Hurricane Lane lost two front shoes that day. Adam Kirby saved every yard of ground in the Derby, and obviously Mojo Star was second, who was a maiden at the time. I don't think anything else really got the chance to show what it could do, even though he did. He's 5-2, Lone Eagle 6-1. If they were both, say, 4-1, they'd be taking out roughly the same amount of the market, and I think it would be closer to fair in that regard. Adea deserves to be shorter than him, but I just don't. I think 5-2 is too short in a race of this quality. Will I go as far as to Liam? I don't know. I might just bottle it in Back Club instead, because I'm a massive fan of hers. But it's a really competitive and tough race. It's going to be mostly about watching for me.
Okay, fair enough. DJ, do you echo Keith's thoughts? First of all, just a quick one. Wonderful Tonight. That needs rain. I think basically I've looked at all the forecasts I've looked at. It could potentially smash it down. It might miss it completely, or we might get somewhere in between. So we will need to check overnight rain. But we want Wonderful Tonight to run, don't we, DJ? Because she's obviously fantastic, but I think it does depend on rainfall.
Yeah, of course we all want Wonderful Tonight to run. And she adds extra intrigue to the race. But I think the rain is a big thing, not just for her running, but also for her winning, I think, as well. Because I couldn't fancy her winning this on quick ground. Funny enough, all week I've been kind of saying to myself that this is a watching race and you know, what a spectacle it is with your Derby winner running against Love. But then I had a good look at this yesterday, and surely, like, at 9-1 with a couple of firms, Mishriff is just overpriced. I think we've probably read a little bit too much into his Eclipse run. He was fizzy, he was keen, it was a slowly run race, and I don't think that's Mishriff. I think Mishriff is... He's hardy and he does his best runs off a real strong pace. And I think when we saw that in Maidan and Riyadh earlier on in the season, you could kind of sniff and say, sure, they're only kind of overseas group ones, but they've actually worked out quite well. And the form of especially the Shima Classic has worked out really well as well. So perhaps it was more substance to those runs than we thought at the time. And even going back to last season, that listed win at Newmarket, like, that was a pretty exceptional performance in that race. Like, Wild Connig was third, obviously, and Vulcan Star was second. Now, it's not Love's level, But I just think the King George has been Mishra of Same all summer, I'd say. I'd say that the Eclipse was obviously a stepping stone for this. He ran fine, didn't disgrace himself, was a little bit disappointing. But 9-1, like, could you really tell yourself to back Love at 11-8 or 6-4 and let Mishriff go at 9-1? I don't think there's that much difference between the pair. I think they should be much closer together in the betting. And for that reason, I think Mishriff could be a play at 9-1.
Very interesting. So Keith, tentatively, I think he loves Love. And if he was having a bet, he'd go there. And DJ prefers Mishriff at 9-1. Excellent. Right then, let's take in the other three ITV races from Ascot on Saturday. And we'll start with the 150. It's over 6 furlongs. It's the Princess Margaret Keeneland Stakes for 2-year-old fillies. It's a Group 3. And System heads the market at 11-4. Desert Dreamer is 3-1. And then there's a gap to the rest with Nazanin and Nymphadora at 8s and Delmona at 10s and bigger the rest. 11 runners, 11 to 4 the field. Not easy, DJ.
It's the bet of the day, Bruce.
Oh,
it's the bet of the day, yeah. How on earth is Desert Dreamer not favourite? This is absolutely bonkers. Now, people would say, oh, that's a ridiculous statement to make, given that System beat Desert Dreamer at Newmarket when they met last month. But, like, if anybody just saw the race, like, I don't know what other people thought, but I kind of thought that Desert Dreamer was the best horse in the race, like was denied a clear run at a crucial stage in the race. And even like Close Home was denied a clear run as well. And even last time in the Duchess of Cambridge, I kind of came away from that race thinking, do you know what? Maybe she wouldn't have won, but if things went a bit smoother, she would have got a lot closer to Sandrine. I thought she was clearly the second best filly in the race. And I thought that was clearly the best piece of form on offer. She's already got a mark of 103. 6 furlongs at Ascot should be absolutely perfect for Desert Dreamer. I think Desert Dreamer should be closer to 15-2-1, certainly not 3-1. She should be favoured. I think she'll win, and I think she's the best bet on Saturday.
Excellent. Thank you very much, DJ. DJ's played his joker early. Keith, what do you make of this one?
It's just a milder flavour of what DJ said exactly. I do think Desert Dreamer should be favourite for this race. She was gaining on everything bar, and maybe even including Sandrine when she was second at Newmarket last time. She was shaped like the best horse when System beat her a neck the time before that. She should just be favourite. I'm not going to nominate her as bet of the day, but you know, if when people hear this, it's still 11-4 System, 3-1 Desert Dreamer. Back Desert Dreamer, because that's at least the wrong way round.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gents. That's nice and simple. 7 runners go to post for the 225 over the straight mile. It's the Porsche Handicap. Only 7, but wide open from a betting perspective. Fantastic Fox is the 130 favourite. And then you can back Latest Generation at 4-1. These prices are as per Friday lunchtime. It's 9-2 Isla Kai, 11-2 Guru and Marsabit, and 12-1 and bigger the other two. Keith, have you been able to make head nor tail of this?
Yeah, I have a bit. I mean, it's obviously competitive and you're not backing anything at 15-8, but I was a big fan of Royal Fleet before he won at Newmarket at the July meeting, and he only just got home by half a length from Latest Generation, who's been improving himself at quite a strong rate. Extremely well-bred horse by Frankel out of Resina as well. He's getting going now. If you can run Royal Fleet to half a length off essentially level weights, I think he actually gave him a pound, then you're a good horse. And he's gone up £5 for it. He deserves to have. And he's still coming out with a really good chance on the Racing Post ratings. He is the rightful favourite for this race. I'm not going to be backing him at all prices, but you know, he was 5-1 before. 4-1's getting more towards the right sort of place. I think he's the likeliest winner.
Thank you, Keith. DJ?
I think Guru is overpriced here, Bruce. I just thought it's been a gradual process with Guru, who's been gelded and now he wears blinkers. And I thought last time when he was just behind Isla Kai over this course and distance, I just thought everything just took longer than it should have taken. And I thought it was a run, a step right back in the right direction. Like, this is the horse that beat Maximal on his debut at Newbury in what looked a really good maiden. I thought it was a novice stakes, I think. And it was beaten a 4-9 next time at Kempton, and then it was very disappointing at Doncaster, but then it was gelded blinkers on, and I just thought inside the final kind of 100 yards at Ascot, I said, this is a horse that's seriously getting the message. It's only gone up £2 for that second at Ascot, whereas Isla Kai has gone up £3. And I think that there's more scope for improvement in Guru as there is than there is in Isla Kai. And again, a little bit like Mishrif later on in the card. I just thought 11-2 for a horse that was so unexposed and could have more improvement to come. I thought it was kind of more 7-2 shot than 11-2 shot, Guru.
Okay. Cheers, gents. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Ascot. This is tricky for sure. It's the Moen Chandon International Stakes. Over 7 furlongs. Looks a bit of a Shadwell fest. 3 of the top 4 in the betting wearing the blue and white. Headed by at 5-1 Motor Kyle, and then it's 6-1 Daniel, 7-1 Matthew Flinders, 10-1 Aldari, it's 12-1 Dance Fever, 12-1 Star of Iran, 14-1 Shine So Bright, 16-1 Acquitted, 16-1 Lord Rapscallion, and I'm giving you such a full show because I want to get to the winner at 16-1 Raising Sand. Do you agree, DJ?
Raising Sand, what a legend. Raising Sand, is there ever been a meet?
Last time, mate. He won his game. Honestly, this time he can pick and choose the best side from stall 12. Bosh, away he goes. This is the day.
Has there ever been a meeting at Sandown held without Raising Sand? That's what I want to know. I'll see your Raising Sand that I'll raise you Matthew Flinders, who I just...
Well, fair enough.
You know, Matthew Flinders is just one of these horses that's got into my head. Now, I was all over him in the Hunt Cup, but something happened in the Hunt Cup that I absolutely hate. I hate when horses split into two groups and you're the one on the outside of one of the groups. So you're near the middle. So you're obviously on the worst ground that nobody wants to go. You've nothing really on your wing. So I just hated it from start to finish in the Hunt Cup. Now, I thought it was a strange place to go next time to run a listed race at Chester. I thought he ran well and he passed horses. And I thought it might give him a little bit of confidence when he was second to Safe Voyage. The handicapper hasn't touched him. He's left him on 98. So if I thought he'd win the Hunt Cup off 99... I'm obviously going to think he's got a big chance here off 98. He's drawn in stall 20. There is pace in around him. The favourite is drawn 19, so hopefully he's on the right side. And I just can't. I can't let him go. I think he's a really well-handicapped horse. I think he's a group horse in the making. So Matthew Flinders for me.
Okay, blind loyalty decrees that I fancy Raising Sand and DJ fancies Matthew Flinders. You don't go for all this loyalty nonsense, do you? You just rub the board clean, Keith, and start again. With no bias and no preconceived ideas, because you're such a pro. And what has your calculations and your study yielded by way of a winner here?
I very nearly went for loyalty, you know.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, very.
Oh, I'm not loyalty.
Sometimes I do. I mean, it's very occasional, but I have done it in the past. And you know how when horses go to Hong Kong and they get a slightly different name? I'm going to rename Dania, poor old Dania, I think, because I backed him all 3 of his runs this year. He was 4th in the Lincoln. What DJ said, I'm sure he was out on the wing in that race, away from the main group of the runners that day. Finished a good 4th, 2nd in the Spring Cup at Newbury. And then I said, 7 furlongs on rattling quick ground. That's the day Dania wins. He ran at Royal Ascot on just that 2nd again. And the horse that beat him since won a listed race. The problem is he's gone up £8 in total for all that. I just think he's had his chance and that will be it, especially if rain comes, because I think he wants really, really quick ground. There's Dams Quisquer who is a really quick ground horse. So I'm going to have to leave Daniel, unfortunately. And it was easy to peel me off him, really, because of all those, you know, misfortunes and going up £8 for not winning. But also the Star of Orion's in this race. This horse has just been running in good races all its life. Never really got a chance to punch down, really, until it won at Newmarket last week. It gets a £3 penalty only for that, and Laura Pearson's on his back to take more than that off, and we know Laura Pearson's extremely good value for her claim. You know, some of that form he's got, 2nd in a big sales race at the Curragh, beating a short head, 5th in the Horace Hill. You know, this is a horse that they've basically thought is better than a handicapper. He's running off a good handicapper's mark here off 97. 15, we're recording this before any races at Ascot are on Friday, but if you believe the going stick readings pre-race, you probably want to be more near side because that is the highest going stick reading on the straight course is the near side. And therefore, you probably want to be a bit higher. Star of Orion's in 15. He's 12-1. He's double the price of Dania and is half as exposed. So for that reason, Star of Orion is the bet. But there will be a little flutter of the heart if Dania does go in. I wouldn't begrudge him it, even though I won't back him.
Okay. And you didn't even mention that he's trained by Rafe Beckett, your selection, which is always a plus. Just to spin you through the each ways there, by the way, Coral and Ladbrokes a quarter of the four, Bet365 a quarter of the fifth, Skybet, Betfair and Paddy Power a fifth the sixth, and William Hill a fifth the seventh. So as we always say on this show, shop around not just for the best prices, but also the best each way terms. That was Ascot. We're going to do York next.
Racing Post Members Club is the only subscription that includes access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m. Plus, exclusive premium content, including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. As a listener of the Postcast, you can enter the code POSTCAST21, that's POSTCAST21, to get 50% off your first 3 months. Head to racingpost.com, click on subscribe, and choose Get Ultimate Monthly to get started. That's code POSTCAST21.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose taking you through now three ITV races on Saturday from beautiful York, starting with the 205. And this will be a bit of fun, something slightly different. Over five furlongs, it's the Skybet Jump Jockeys Nunthorpe. Brackets to be ridden by professional jump jockeys. I will take you through the prices and also who's riding them, just so that you know that we have got some of the stars of the winter game in the saddles here. 9-2 Fav is James Watt, written by Brian Hughes. 13-2 Ginger Jam with Bryony Frost in the plate. It's Midwinster at 7-1 with Sam Twiston Davis up. 7-1 Soul Seeker, who's ridden by Tom Scudamore. And then 9-1 Nibras again, ridden by Jonathan England. We've got 12 runners in all, and it should be quite interesting to see the jump jockeys riding on the flat. How much will jockey bookings come into your consideration here, Keith?
Not to a huge extent. There was one I was tempted by, which was Dark Shot, because he's been ridden by Sean Bowen, who has been doing a bit of riding on the flat. But really, I mean, yeah, when this race started about 4 years ago, I thought, oh, yeah, well, I know the sort of jump jockeys that will be good at this, and trying to parse it that way. But, you know, I wouldn't have put Tom Scoo up there, and he's been first and second in two of the runnings. So, you know, I don't think you can really tell. I think there's much better guessing games to play than that. You know, these are all good jockeys. You know, if one's got experience on the flat like Bowen does, maybe that's a bit of an edge, but I would not be putting all that much stock in the jockeys particularly. I mean, they're all of a good standard, they're all good riders.
Okay, who wins then?
Well, you want to generally be with Paul Midgley in this race. He seems to target it. He's won two of the three runnings that have been so far, and he had the runner-up the other year. But what I found interesting is the two that are fancied of his, which is James Watt and Midwinster, yeah, they're both drawn on the wing in 12 and 1, respectively. You don't really probably want to be drawn on the wing in these sorts of races, even though this is a smaller field than we've had before. And he's got Nibras again in there, but I also picked up on Ventura Express, Daryl Jacobs riding him. Now, this horse was improving at the start of the year, and even into June, he won at Pontefract by 4 lengths. And then went up and finished second at Haydock later in that same week. He's run twice since, and his improvement seems to have stopped, but they've both been over 6 furlongs, and this is a fast horse. He probably wants 5 furlongs, and he's back at 5 furlongs now. So he can hope that he resumes his improvement, and if he does so, he's much better than a 12-1 shot. So for all that, basically, let's be honest, a novelty 5-furlong sprint is very much the sort of race I would not involve myself in. Ventura Express is going to tempt me into a small bet.
Okay, interesting. DJ?
I love the concept. It's just very tricky. I'm going to go for one at 20-1. I think it's too big of a price for eBay gum. Like, when I see sprints at York, my first instinct is Tim Easterby. And how many sprinters could Tim Easterby have had to pick from in this race? I'd suggest quite a few. He ran 3 in the race when it was last run in 2019. He's only got 1 in the race this time. And it's Ebag Gum, who is very fast and has been disappointing this season and hasn't won for a while. But I thought he ran okay last time at Doncaster. You know, he kind of got into a bit of trouble close home. But he's dropped down to a mark of 66. Holy God, 66. Like, I don't think he's... Like, when he won, I remember, a couple of years ago at Redcar, and he went up to the high 60s. I think that was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. He hasn't been down this low in a long time. And it's funny, like, for a sprinter that you think is going out of form, he's been sent off favour for 3 of his last 6 runs. And there have kind of been excuses here and there. At Nottingham, three starts ago, I thought he just went a little bit too quick and then he hung under pressure. He's not a 20-1 shot off a mark of 66. I'd say Tim might have had this race in his mind for quite a while. Jamie Hamilton takes the ride. I think 20-1 is too big. E-bag-um.
Do you know what e-bag-um means? Does that mean anything to you, DJ?
No, I have a feeling it's something I should know.
Well, I don't know, really. No, I'm not sure it would. But Keith, you're an adopted Yorkshireman, so perhaps you can explain.
Well, nobody under 60 in Yorkshire says it, is the first thing.
Tim Easterby's not ancestors, but senior relatives say it all time. Yes.
His uncle Mick definitely will, won't he? Yeah, you can guarantee it. It's just an exclamation, isn't it? It's like, oh my God, or something like that. But the Yorkshire equivalent, that's all it is.
And that's all it is, yeah. If you ever watch, and you'd have to sit through one of the worst sitcoms of all time, what's that thing called? Those three old blokes.
Last of the Summer Wine.
Last of the Summer Wine. Yeah.
I used to love that.
Oh, well, in that case, they say Ebar Gum all the time on that. But you liked Last of the Summer Wine.
It's kind of my granddad used to love it. And it's childhood memories, Bruce. It was probably a pile of crap, but I kind of just... I remember sitting in the sitting room watching it and he was laughing and that made me happy, Bruce.
Okay, fair enough. You're a better judge of horses than you are comedies, that's for sure. Let's see what you fancy in the 240 at York, which is the 6 furlong Sky Bet Dash. A bunch of old handicapped sprinters running against each other. Mon Damage heads the betting at 11-2, and then it's 15-2 Golden Apollo, 9-1 Geo Jibbo, 9-1 Music Society, 10-1 Streamline, 11-1 Bar. David Jennings, who wins this?
Oh, these, like, unlucky loser could be the prefix beside all of these, like, the first five or six in the market here. Like, they've obviously, you know, how do you pronounce Gio Giabo, is it? Gio Giabo?
I don't know. Gio I struggled Giabo. With that. I thought you might rinse me for my pronunciation of that. But
Gio Giabo. Obviously, Gio Giabo has won three in a row. So, but the rest of them, like,
come on.
Well, this is a good
it out, man. That's not that hard. Mon Damage.
Mon Damage. Sorry, I was getting the first syllable completely wrong there. Mon Damage, I thought last time at Ascot, like, it was one of them ones where you're kind of going, oh, another few strides and he might have got up. And then you kind of say, he just seems to do that so often. Do you give him another chance? He's up £3. I thought the run at Newcastle before that, over six again, was one of these performances where you're going, yeah, it's going to win down the next couple of weeks. Just wait for, you know, a race that actually suits Mon Damage. And this is obviously the race that suits Mon Damage. But, like, it's going to be a very hard watch. He's going to need gaps to open. He's going to need cover. He's going to need everything to fall into place. But then the flip side of that is, if the gaps open, I do think he's capable of winning a race like this off his mark. And I do think he's the most likely winner. But it's just going to be such a hard watch.
Do you know what, DJ? Sometimes with races like this, what I do is I go on Betfair and I look to lay the entire field at a really short price, like 1.3 or something, because you quite often get two or three of them in contention and something looks like it's about to win, something will be unlucky. And if you get two laid, you're in business. So that might be my tactic here. What's your tactic here, Keith?
To just bear in mind what this race is, you know, it's a Saturday telly 6 furlong sprint at York, but you've made the case and made the point there that, you know, it is a lot of these exposed horses that meet each other an awful lot. And think about it in those terms, and think about York as quite a sharp 6 furlong track, and straight track at York is quite quick. And I'm falling on the 3-year-old that I think might maybe be a 5 furlong horse. That's one of my doubts about it, but has got a lot of speed, is definitely unexposed, and has actually been running in better races than this of late, and that's Blind Beggar. So he only broke his maiden in May. It was a race at Catterick. He won it by half the track. Fine. His two runs since, one was in a Heritage Handicap here, the old charity sprint in early June, where he was 6th to first folio. Just didn't get a run in the last 2 furlongs. I think he just about finished on the bridle. I'm not going to say he would have won, but you can see he's much better than that result there that day. And he was never really going, for some whatever reason it was, in another Heritage Handicap at the July meeting when we last saw him. I think you can just chuck that one out. It's sprinters. They have bad days sometimes and they're, you know, they need to be going from the moment they break from the stalls, and he wasn't that day. It's a sharper 6 furlongs now, as I say. Whether that's sharp enough for him ultimately is just that little niggle. And maybe he's the sort of horse that'll trade at 1.3, Bruce, I don't know. But at 14-1 in this race, and I haven't actually looked yet, but I assume there will be place concessions here. I think that's a very sporting each way bet.
Well, let me tell you, you can get 12 to 1 if you want six places, or 14 to 1. You can either have a quarter of the four with Bet365 or a fifth of five with Betfair and Paddy Power. So,
I mean, he's already finished sixth in a better race over course and distance this year. So those fifth and sixth, at 12 and 14 to 1, you can slice it sort of how you want, but you're going to take one of those.
Excellent. Okay. And finally, at York on ITV, at 3:15 over 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs, we've got the Sky Bet York Stakes. It's a Group 2, and we've got five runners headed in the betting by Mo Harfeth at 5-4. Then we've got Armory at 2-1, Juan Elcano at 4-1, 16's Montatham, and 20-1 Bangkok. Interesting heat, this. Keith, I must say, when Juan Elcano won the other day, I thought, blimey, that's back to life. Can that follow up now?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. He's that sort of horse,
not,
isn't
it? It's not. You're miles better at guessing than me. I'm rubbish at it.
He's just that sort of horse. He's a bit hard to pin down, Juan Elcano. He's got loads of ability and loads of talent. But yeah, I couldn't confidently say today's the day he'll do something. I know a friend who did actually back him at Ascot. And I said, why'd you do that? And he said, I think he's a sort of horse that needed his wind doing. And that was the first time after wind surgery when he won at Ascot. So I don't know if maybe he'll go backwards from it or whatever. I would be surprised if he was good enough anyway. He's not got form as good as either Armory or Mahafith. And I look at the race and I wonder why Montatham's in here. Stablemate and same colours as Mahafith, because Montatham's a free goer at a mile and is now over the extended mile too. I assume he's here to make the pace, because Armory is obviously a horse with a really good turn of foot. And if it comes down to a sprint from 2-3 out, he might beat Mahafith. But if Montatham's been allowed to blast off from the get-go, you're going to have an even pace, and that just makes it for Mahafith, and I think he'll probably win. I'm not massively interested at 5-4, but he's the one I'm putting up.
Keith, can I just ask you a little bit about this pacemaking thing? You know, because Shamie Heffernan's on board Armory. So they're going to, you know, they're obviously fastidious in their homework, and they will expect Montatham to blast off. At what point does Shane, you know, leaving the stalls, does Shamie Heffernan just say, look, I'm comfortable with this. I know this thing's going to blast off. It's not going to get home. I'm just going to ignore it. Or does he have to be mindful of the fact that there is half a chance that the horse has got enough ability that if they all dawdle, he'll just get an unassailable lead? I'm always fascinated, and I think it's quite challenging for punters when there is a pacemaker angle in the race. So perhaps you could just give us a bit of colour on that.
Yeah, now, it does sort of vary race to race. I mean, Heffernan here will look, he will have a different opinion from you and I as to what extent Montatham might get home, and will make a judgment call based on that. He will also, I would imagine, he will sit just behind Mahafith to try and do him for a turn of speed. So it's all about where he's watching most, because he will want to stop Mahafith, but he'll also want to make sure, keep just half that eye on Montatham. It's also on Jim Crowley. To what extent does he follow Montatham's lead? Depends on how Liam Jones gets on. There's so many interlocking related. It's every ride relates to every other ride in a race like this. And it's almost a sort of round robin in that extent. I wouldn't allow for it to begin with. I would suggest that most outcomes involve Montatham not getting home, but making sure the pace isn't a doddle. You know, it's not going to happen every time, but if you assume that sort of bell curve, the thick part of the bell curve involves Montatham not getting home and there being a decent pace on. And that's why I would stick with Mahafith. You've got to sort of think about what's, you know, there's no guarantee with these things because they are tactically very fiddly, but you've just got to go with what seems likeliest, and that is how I come down how I did.
Excellent. Thank you, Keith. Blimey, I need to lie down after that. DJ, what do you make of this race?
When I started studying all these last night, I thought this was probably one of the most straightforward races of the day. I just thought Armory was different class. We have no idea if Mahafith is a proper, genuine, top-notch great Group 1 performer. We have no idea. He could be, and he might be, but we've no idea yet. He's won a listed race, and he's won a Group 3, and he's looked quite good in doing so. But in Armory, you have got a horse who is a proper Group 1 performer. Like, this is the horse who finished two lengths behind Magical and Gaia at the last year's Irish Champion Stakes, one of the best races of the year. In fourth was Satsas, who went on to win the Arc. Fifth was Japan. Like, that is proper 10 furlong form. Now, I was absolutely mad on Armory. Now, I mean mad, but I have to say one thing. What held me up coming onto the podcast at the start, and you were probably giving out about me, was I was on the phone to Aidan O'Brien getting quotes for tomorrow. And one of the things he said about Armory was, he said, Armory is going for the Arlington Million, and we want to get a run into him before the Arlington Million, which suggests to me, obviously, the Arlington Million is the ultimate aim for Armory. So you just don't know if he's going to be a concert pitch here, but if you've got 100% Armory here, I think he'll destroy these. I think he's just better than them. Like, even the run at Ascot. And Keith, you make the point where Armory is a quickener and has a turn of foot. Mm. But like, the Irish Champion Stakes last year was a really strong run race. You had Guyatt, Magical took on Guyatt the whole way. It was a strongly run race. And that arguably was Armory's best piece of form. He was in front of an arc winner in fourth. So I don't think whatever way the race is run will hinder Armory too much. I think he's tactically versatile. And just think this is a simple case of being the best horse in the race.
What came out from last time? I thought the way the Prince of Wales was run should have suited him. I thought that was meant to be his group one. You know how Ballydoyle do that? Like, it's his day today. They don't say it, but you know by the way a race shakes out that they intended for a certain horse to have everything run to suit it. And I thought that was what was going to happen with Armory. And it didn't. Did they offer any excuse? And by the way, the Arlington Million is a right race for that horse, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny with Armory. Like, I'd say if you stop the tape kind of two out in the Prince of Wales, you'd say to yourself, yeah, Armory is the most likely winner. Like, he traded at 1.5 in running that day. And I don't know. It was funny. It was like the race was his. The next thing he was beaten. He still was only beaten a length and a half. I still think if he just repeats that run, that's going to be good enough here. He ran to an RPR of 121. That's good. Like, we're trying to guess with Mohavid, and he looks this amazing horse. And in a way, I kind of hope he is this amazing horse that he looks, but God, he's got to go and do it. And I think the betting is the wrong way around.
DJ, do you ever stop and appreciate how cool your job is that you just ring up Aidan O'Brien and have a chat with him about his horses? That is decent, isn't it?
Yeah, I know you do. Like, I often say, I've probably said this so many times on the podcast, but I often remember when I used to live at home, when I started in racing, and I used to live at home, and I'd see my dad getting up at like 6 o'clock in the middle of winter. He was a bricklayer, and I was getting up to like type an interview or something, and you just really appreciate it in days like that. But yeah, it is pretty cool at times, unless people are giving out to you.
And how, well, yeah, that happens, but you can live with that kind of, and how often is he anything other than unfailingly polite? I just think Aidan O'Brien is just one of the most polite, courteous people I've ever met.
Unbelievable. He was giving me sleep and advice for Georgia and everything. So yeah, no, he's always been incredibly courteous and nice to me. So yeah, nothing but good things to say.
Fantastic. Excellent. Okay, that's the TV action. We'll see what else the lads fancy, and we'll get some early views on Goodwood and Galway in a matter of seconds.
As a listener of the Postcast, you can enter the code POSTCAST21, that's POSTCAST21, to get 50% off your first 3 months. Head to racingpost.com, click on subscribe, and choose Get Ultimate Monthly to get started. That's code POSTCAST21.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, and David Jennings. We've done the Ascot and the York ITV action on Saturday. Let's see what else the lads fancy. We've got some all-weather fare at Newcastle. They're racing over at Garran Park in Ireland. And then we've got some evening action at Newmarket and Salisbury. Actually, it's not really an evening meeting at Newmarket. The first race is at 3:05 and the last one is at 6:25. But anyway, what have you got for us, Keith?
I'm going to ask you lads' opinion on this, actually, because I've got two here and one of them's going to be Manap. But there's one that's currently 11-2, but I think it'll be 3-1 by the time this goes out. That would be Manap normally. And I've got another one that's 4-1 that I think will stay around about that price for quite a long time. So I don't know, what would you rather have as Manap?
The one you fancy most.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, cop-out answer, but okay. The one I'll mention now then is, you'll enjoy this one, Bruce, because it's Beckett's at Salisbury in the 8:35. Horse called Fleurman, who was second on his last run at Doncaster to Mombahar, an improving John Gosden horse who didn't seem to handle Chester last time he ran there. But Fleurman was relatively fancied that day and just didn't have the speed. It was a speed test really that day, and he didn't have the speed of Mombahar. It wants to step up in trip or in terms of stamina. And Salisbury, the climb from when they join, you know, there's a loop at Salisbury. Yeah. So the rail cuts away and they join the track proper to the lines, about 25 feet of climbing. It's a stiff finish at Salisbury. A lot
Have you ever been there, Keith?
No, no.
It's really nice. It's lovely. Okay, lovely. Fleurman is Keith's other non-TV selection in the 8:35 at Salisbury. DJ, what has your eye landed upon?
And going to the 4:35 at Goran Park, Bruce, Howling Wolf is the name of the horse. Finished 13th of 15 last time at Leopardstown, would you believe? But forget about that. Clipped heels after 100 yards and then clipped heels in the home straight as well. So Luke McAteer was very easy on him once his chance had gone. But the time before that, I thought it was a real sign that this horse was coming back into form at Limerick and the Curra. Two really solid runs off Marcus 70s and off of Marcus 70 and better races than this. This is a very, very winnable race. Howling Wolf started off with Tony Mullins and actually beat Santiago in a maiden at Leopardstown back in 2019. So there is some back form there. And I just thought recently there's been more sign of life from Howling Wolf. That's in the 4:35 at Goran Park and one other one at Goran Park as well. In the final race on the card, the 5:45 is second division of the mile and one handicap. And there's a load of horses out of form here. But I thought Prime Chief was interesting here for Jarlett Fahey and Dylan Brown McMonagall. One at Down Royal two starts ago. And last time at Navan, just didn't get the run of the race. Finished fifth, but it was only beaten 2.5 lengths. Was kind of short of room at a crucial stage and then kind of looked like it was getting there and then lost two places close home. But I thought that was a perfectly plausible run. Runs off the same mark here, 65. So Prime Chief in the 5:45 of Corn as well.
Take it away, Steve Palmer.
This will not be beaten.
Let's get the naps. Keith, what's it going to be? This horse that you think could be backed into a much shorter price.
Yeah, you know, because Hills price up these races early doors. And there, you know, this race at Newcastle, the 3:55, had about three co-favourites at 11-2, a couple more at 13-2, and you know, they just basically hadn't quite parsed it at this stage. But I suspect once money starts influencing the market, that Winford's going to be about 3-1 favourite. This horse has only run three times for Rebecca Menzies, having previously been with Lucinda Edgerton. Before that, he was with Dan Skelton and was a 1:30 hurdler for Dan Skelton on RPRs. And now he's running off 55 on the flat. His first run for Menzies was on the flat, but you suspect that was just getting him fit because he's run twice since over hurdles at market raising. He won the second of them off a mark of 99. Now, that's a low-grade mark over hurdles, of course, but 55 is a low-grade mark on the flat too. Kevin Stott's quite an eye-catching booking, actually, for him. I just think this horse, if they're carrying that form, you know, it was only 20 days ago that he won in market raising, carries that form back to the flat, he could go off 9-4. I just think he's going to, if it's because Menzies, the yard do know when they've got one and when they want to back one, so the market can speak for them. And if they think that's what they've got here, this horse might just go off really a lot shorter than that.
That sounds like a good suss. Okay, Winford in the 3:55 at Newcastle is Keith's nap. I think we know who DJ's nap is.
Oh, Desert Dreamer, 150 Ascot, take the 3-1. I think she'll go off 7-4. And we need one from you, Bruce. We need the Trixie. What's the Bruce move than that?
No, I'm not going to get involved, lads. No, you're the pros. I just ask the questions. No, we don't. I wouldn't tarnish your superb work with a guess, which is what it'd be. Now, before we get stuck into Goodwood and Galway, Keith, you've got one for us on Sunday, north of the border, I believe. Which one's that?
Yeah, it's Musselburgh on Sunday. Is the first Sunday series day of racing. And, you know, I've been a...
Oh, yeah, of course. It's on ITV4, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Yes.
That's right. I've been an advocate of more Sunday racing, good Sunday racing in Britain for quite a long time. There's a small element of not like that, lads, because I don't know why this meeting couldn't be 2 till 5 rather than, you know, 5 to 4 until nearly 7. I assume the broad answer is the telly, but I wouldn't mind getting a sort of fuller answer on that. Either way, got one bet on that card. The 6:40, the closer, it's the Stairn race, you'll be amazed to know. And quite a lot of horses in here that have a bit more potential to come, and to be honest, quite a lot that you couldn't have that much faith in. Let Me Be is probably going to be popular. He's been winning for fun all year. But a mile six, not fully a mile six at Musselburgh, I don't think that's going to suit him now. He's a real stayer. And Wise Eagle, who's already won over course and distance this summer and has just been progressive generally, he's a horse... second here last time to a horse called Green Gage, who runs on Saturday and might win, but he's not a big enough price for me to put him up as a proper selection. The two of them came clear off what was a really, really steady gallop told me that this horse is still improving, Wise Eagle. And if he's not favourite for this race at Musselburgh on Sunday, I would be recommending people to back him because I think he probably should be.
Okay, yes, I forgot to say that, Keith. You're absolutely right. All seven races from Musselburgh and one at Pontefract on Sunday are live on ITV4, which is great news. And we've even got that thing that kind of throws me a bit with my sort of obsessive behaviour, 25-minute gaps between some races. Okay, so that's something to look forward to. And something else to look forward to massively, of course, is next week, because on Monday through to the following Sunday, we've got the slog that is the Galway Festival. And Tuesday to Saturday, we've got Glorious Goodwood. Now, Maddie will be joined by some ferociously good judges on Monday in the show to look ahead to the first few days of Goodwood and Galway. But before that, let's just get some naps from the lads. We'll start with Goodwood. What have you got for us, DJ?
Oh, this is so boring, Bruce, but it's a great price. Space Blues is 7-2 to win the Lennox. Won it last year convincingly. People will say, you know, Space Blues hasn't been seen since Maidan back in March. But like, he's won off breaks in the past. He won it at Riyadh on the back of a 195-day break. He's won on the back of a 92-day break. He's fine fresh, and he is just the best horse in the race. And it's just the track, everything, the track, the trip, and everything about the race is just made up for Space Blues. And I think 7-2 is perfectly respectable.
And if anyone hears your confident shout for Space Blues in the Lennox and thinks, what day is that? Help them out.
It's on Tuesday, Bruce. It's on Tuesday at 3:00.
Perfect. Thank you very much indeed. Keith, if you're only going to have one bet at Glorious Goodwood at this early juncture, who would that be?
Yeah, I hate doing this normally, but I'm so convinced this horse is going to be entered up and has been laid out for the race that I'm going to do it. There is a 2.5 mile handicap on one of the... Is it the Friday? I don't even know what day it is, but there is a 2.5 mile handicap on one of the days. It starts it off, and it's the only race like that all week.
Little Rockefeller won it once upon a time.
He did by 17 lengths.
Pulled a massive stroke that day, didn't he? And it was
poor old Little Rockefeller. Yeah. That was sad, wasn't it? His demise.
Was indeed. Yeah, it was. And we've got it was won last year by Just Hubert. You might remember it was an absolute last gasp finish when Just Hubert won it. The horse that finished third was Smart Champion. And I'm pretty certain Smart Champion's been campaigned for one big day out this summer, and I think it's this race again. He's now £6 lower than when he was a length third to Just Hubert last year, but he's actually got a better performance on his profile this year. He's third behind Estasia here in the early days of June. But he's been running over a 1.6 mile. That was 2 miles against Estasia and not the greatest test at 2 miles. And a 1.6 mile at Newmarket last time. This horse needs every bit of 2 miles and everything more that you can give him. You don't get many chances at 2.5 miles, and that's why he's been aimed back at this race. And I just think he's been laid out for it. You might get a good price when it comes out, Smart Champion, in the 2.5 mile handicap.
On Friday. Thank you very much indeed. Good luck to Goodwood. It's a beautiful course, and obviously full crowds are available. So I would imagine, given probably the advanced ticket sales aren't that great, you've got every chance of getting in there and enjoying a fantastic day up on the Downs. Love Glorious Goodwood. What's the crowd situation at Galway next week, DJ?
1,000 a day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We are light years behind Britain at the moment. I don't know who's right and I don't know who's wrong, but we're taking two completely alternative views on the whole thing. So, it won't be Galway, as I said. It's racing at Galway, but it's not the Galway races.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, have you got a winner for us to soften the blow?
I think so. I've been waiting a long time for magic tricks in the Galway hurdle. It is, just to get the time right, Bruce, it's a 6:15, actually. It's an evening meeting this year. 6:15 at Galway on Thursday. Magic Tricks, to me, has Galway Hurdle written all over him. He was second in a really valuable handicap hurdle at the Irish Grand National meeting at Fairy House. But Mark Wadge kind of played it safe there. He was kind of towards the outside of the group throughout and kicked on very early and then got in tight to the last. And I think he would have won if he had jumped the last more fluently. That was off a mark of 132. He's only up to 137 now. Had a pipe opener on the flat at Killarney and a maiden. Really, really good run. Just obviously needed the blowout. Was beaten 2 lengths. Derek O'Connor wasn't overly hard on him that day. And a 5-year-old who is famous or infamous, but possibly famous, for being a brother to Abracadabra. Abracababra. That's one I should have got right.
Still haven't got it.
Yeah. Abracababra. A brother to Abracababra. And I just think with Magic Strix, I would say months of preparation has gone into the Galway hurdle, and off a mark of 137, off a weight of 10 stone 6, I'd be surprised if Mark Walsh doesn't ride, and I'd be surprised if Magic Strix is not bang there coming into last.
Just quickly before we go, you've had four goes at pronouncing that horse and got it wrong. Have another one, come on.
Isn't
Abacababra that shop? It's every third shop in Dublin. I mean, it's 15 years since I went to Dublin.
I'll tell you, that just goes to show you how you go from flat mode to jumps mode, because I haven't said it in ages. It is
Abacadabras.
That's the way Gordon actually finds it extremely hard to pronounce it. So obviously I am too. Abacadabras.
Are you down there all week, DJ?
I'm certainly down there the middle of the week. I think Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday anyway.
Beautiful. Okay, chaps. Thank you so much for your wisdom. Good luck with your bets. Good luck, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, please do bet safely and responsibly. Please also do join Maddie on Monday for a bumper postcast looking ahead to some fantastic midweek fare. We're back next Friday looking ahead to the final day of Glorious Goodwood. We'd love you to join us for that.